Hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Tuesday afternoon. It's not actually afternoon. It's still morning. I'm trying to race to the afternoon.
It is on the East Coast.
It is. That's true. In Knoxville, if we were talking with Vince next, it would be Tuesday afternoon where he is. Tim Hasselbeck coming up at noon. That will be in the afternoon, and we're looking forward to that conversation coming up here in about an hour. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Willie, I was laughing during the break because I know how much you love the whole Marvel stuff. And that Liberty Mutual commercial where he's wanting to be Spider-Man still cracks me up. I think it's funny. Pretty funny. It's a pretty funny commercial. Did it work?
I thought those commercials were stupid at first, like with the emu. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like I was like, what are we doing here? But yeah. Now they've kind of grown on me a little bit. Especially that one.
Well, he's kind of trying to take a little – he's taking more of a role than – I agree. I didn't really understand the whole emu thing. But this latest one is their best one, in my opinion.
There's a new Spidey movie coming out, right, Chase?
Yep. Yeah.
When does that open?
Spider-Man – it's got Doc Ock in it, which I'm excited about. Because he's one of my favorite villains, and it's actually the same guy that played Doc Ock in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. So,
yes.
Spider-Man No Way Home opens up in 3 days, December
17th. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Might have to go see that one.
I like the...
That's going to be very interesting. There's a time travel element to this, if you saw the first one. This is a sequel. Or is this number three?
This is three. And Willem Dafoe's in it, too. Remember,
yeah,
he was
the original Green Goblin.
Yep. So that'll be good. Jamie Foxx.
He's a good actor.
Yes, he is.
Is it Alfred Molina is the guy who plays Doc Ock, right?
Yep.
Wow. It's hard to believe that first trilogy with Willem Dafoe and Tobey Maguire and those guys, that was early 2000s. So those guys are coming back
from a long time ago. Kirsten Dunst was Mary Jane.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan of Kirsten Dunst. Big fan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, should be good. Darren, I know it's way over your head, but that's okay.
No, I'm just listening.
Is Maddox into this stuff at all?
Nope.
Just Fortnite?
Yep. And YouTube. I told you this.
Oh yeah,
I don't even understand it. I don't get it. Like watching people play Fortnite. Like I don't even like what's attractive about that. I tell them that all the time. Like I don't get it. Like you want to watch gamers? I don't. That doesn't make any sense.
Twitch. Yeah, that's what Twitch. You know, we're on Twitch, but I mean, Twitch kind of got big because you can stream. Like iRacing that I do. I mean, people streaming all the time. Like you're in the car with, you know, I've done it. I mean, a couple times. People laughed at me because I wrecked. But, yeah, that's what people do.
Yeah, I'm just watching the whole family. I've brought this up before. The families, you know, that do stuff from home and the millions of people that watch them, like, you know, make, like, play with Play-Doh. It's like, what? What? Build a fort out of cardboard boxes. It's like, what? And they have millions of people watching, and that's what they do. It's like it's just a family. Like that's their job. They just make videos all day, go out and squirt each other with squirt guns. I mean, and kids watch. That's where we are today. And it's like good for them. I mean, they make a living out of it, and a really good living out of it. But I don't get it. But that seems to be what he's into. I mean, and you know, the sports thing. But yeah, no, he doesn't really watch a lot of movies or any of that, so don't have to deal with that much. We're going to have David Poyle join us here in about 10 minutes, but before we do that, some news that kind of got out yesterday during and really after our show that wanted to pass along. I'm sure most of you have seen it by now, but Ryan Porth, our program director, is indeed leaving here soon. He has accepted the job at 670 The Score in Chicago, so him and Amanda will be picking up and moving to Chicago, start a life there. That's where her family is from. They're going to be starting a family there. And he's got a great opportunity at 670 The Score, which is a monster up there. And He's going to be – I know they – was it the assistant brand manager? They do –
Yeah.
They label it a little bit different. Assistant PD, assistant brand manager, however you want to label it. But Ryan has earned all of this. Really, really happy for him. It's amazing. I remember him the early days. And, of course, we used to do – you know, he was on the board when I was doing Predators games, you know, for road games. And we would sit in there and, man, he's come a long way. He's just a guy who worked hard, learned the business, learned everything. Yeah, both of you. And then, of course, the news following that is that leaves a void. And this is where Chase McCabe is going to slide into that role as our new PD. And, you know, both are very, very deserving. I'm happy for both of you. And, yeah, it's two guys that came into this business. And Willie and I, we've watched you guys grow up in almost a decade to where you are today, and both are deserving, and it just goes to show you hard work does pay off for those who don't think. That's why I've always respected people that do things the right way as opposed to people who cheat. It's easy to cheat, right, try to speed up the process. I respect the ones who hang in there and do things, roll up their sleeves and do things the old-fashioned way. That's what I like about this Predators team. I was talking about that with Robbie and Joe yesterday, man. I just love – I mean, how could you not embrace this Predators team? I mean, they're a hardworking team. They're like most everybody who's watching them, right? We all work hard for our money and our time and everything else, and that's what that Preds team does. They're a blue-collar team, and how do you not embrace that? And that's what you guys have done. So congratulations to both of you. We'll miss Ryan. I did tell him when he informed me last week of what was going on. I said, look, here's the deal. If we do get wind, and we'll be monitoring you closely, if we get wind of you putting on a Blackhawks jersey up there, we will be on our way up to Chicago. You can expect a house call from us, and we will be flogging you, okay? And we'll put it out on social media. We'll embarrass you. So if you do that, I don't care if you lose a bet up there. If you wear a Blackhawks jersey and you put it out there and we find out, we're coming to get you. So we got a good laugh out of that. He swears he's not going to be a Blackhawks fan, but I told him, I said, we will be monitoring the situation very, very closely.
He's told me all he plans to do is adopt the Bulls because he doesn't have an NBA team. So,
And that's fine.
And that's, you know, that's cool. But, you know, still loyal to the Titans, loyal to the Preds. But I do believe he is Friday because he's got to go up there. He's going to go to the Blackhawks-Preds game. So he will go invade the United Center.
Great timing. Everything is on course for that to happen, right? Everything good? There's no new news today, so I guess that's a good thing.
Hey, Willie? All around the league, you saw what happened.
Is your mic on, Willie?
Hey.
Hello?
Sebastian Aho and Seth Jarvis for Carolina, they got stuck in Vancouver. They both tested positive. They're going to be there for a while. So this is happening. You just cross your fingers each day and hope that there is no new news. But, yeah, because Carolina, Nashville is scheduled to go there on Sunday
yep.
afternoon.
That's right.
So we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully everything is hunky-dory. But we know Ryan Johansson is on the list, so he's probably going to be out for a good while now. Mm-hmm. Don't know how quick he can get back. It all depends on negative tests and the different protocols, symptomatic, asymptomatic. So it's complicated. And the biggest thing that it's doing, it's really calling into question whether it will be worth it for the players to go over to the Olympics in Beijing because they have some serious protocols over there. 3 to 5 week quarantine if you test positive. And so that could put the backside of your season in jeopardy if that were to happen to you over there. So with the case numbers going up around here, Calgary being the third team that has had to postpone some games, I'd have to venture to say they probably won't be the last team. Do some of these players, it's really going to be up to the players. Do they want to risk it going over there and having something like that happen where a section of players can't get back home?
Yeah, I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again. Nothing's changed. Everything I read, it just looks like all signs are pointing towards it's probably not going to happen. And I know that's going to, you know, the players want it to happen. I get it. They want to represent their country, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I just don't think it's going to be worth it, considering what you just laid out there. And I think it's in real jeopardy. I mean, real. In fact, I would say right now, if I had to slide chips one way or the other, I'd probably say they're not going.
I kind of agree with you on that.
That's just my gut feeling.
I just feel like it's probably going to be tough to do with everything going on. But and thank you for the kind words. I appreciate it. Like, you guys have meant the world to me and been mentors. You have brought me along. I interned with Willie and Joe Dubin when I first started, and then Darren, we've worked in various day parts together, whether it was afternoons or middays, and now co-hosting with you guys the last few years. And I am getting asked that a lot. What does that mean? Chase, Donick, and Darren's going to continue. So, you know, we'll keep it going for a while. Looking forward to it. Going to be a fun 2022, and so happy for Ryan and Amanda as well as they head up to Chi-Town. I've never been to Chicago, so now I have to go.
Are
so
you serious?
I've been to the airports, but I've never been to Chicago.
Wow.
I think this year, because Ryan and I already looked at it, June 17th, the Braves, the world champion Atlanta Braves, go to Wrigley. So that might be my first trip to Wrigley.
Might still be cold.
In June?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Not joking.
June may be a stretch. May for sure. I've
been to Wrigley Field and been a couple layers light in a June game before.
Yeah, I mean, it's not commonplace, it can happen. To your point, it can happen. All right, we'll come back and chat with Predators General Manager David Poile. We do that next. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe is live at the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Now chatting with Predators General Manager David Poile. David, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, Darren. Before we start, I'd like to make a little shout-out to your new boss, Chase, on his promotion. Congratulations, Chase.
Thanks, David. I appreciate it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and looking forward to working with you guys even more.
Yeah, well, you make sure you keep that Darren and Willie in line. They're doing a pretty good job, but just make sure you keep them in line. One more thing, if Ryan is listening, this is a big challenge for him to go up to the Chicago market there, and let's hope he stays true to his love of the Predators. And thanks, Ryan, for doing a real good job, and congrats on your promotion.
He's been warned, David. He's been warned. If we sniff out down here, he puts on a Blackhawks jersey. We're going to Chicago.
Gotcha. I'll go
road trip. So, wish we were talking about a game. The Predators. This team has won 5 in a row. Boy, what a road trip! 4-0. But before we get into all that, I was hoping we were talking about a game against a very good Calgary Flames team tonight at Bridgestone Arena. But that is not happening. That game has been postponed. The Flames have had an outbreak of COVID. Their game in Chicago, speaking of Chicago, was postponed as well. How do you feel sitting here today? I know Ryan Johansson was not in the lineup on Sunday night, but how do you feel about kind of, you know, your communications with the league and just with the team? And is everything still okay for a Thursday night game at Bridgestone Arena?
As far as we know, the answer is yes. But as we've seen, just reading some things, even Calgary has had some more outbreak on their team. And I think once you have somebody that gets, COVID, I think the next 2 to 5 days is really important because Ryan Johansson is in the COVID protocol right now. We are testing every day. We did not practice yesterday. That was a planned non-practice because of the schedule we had, but we also did not practice today to hopefully stay away from this as best possible. But when there's somebody gets it, it's and we're all traveling together on the in the locker room together, on the plane together. You just never know in these situations. So it's a little bit of a nervous situation for us right now. I think I also see Carolina They were out in Vancouver, and they're in Minnesota tonight. They had to leave like two or three players in Vancouver, which is not ideal. So let's keep our fingers crossed. We don't have our test results from today, but you know, we'll have them this afternoon, and we'll have an update at that time.
Just a reminder that we're not out of the woods yet, isn't it? You know, and it feels a lot better and a lot more normal. But when things like this happen, then we realize that we're not completely in the clear.
Exactly.
And with that being said, David, what are some of the discussions going on? Because everything that I read is it doesn't look good. It's starting to look more and more bleak that, you know, the Olympics is going to happen for these players where they're going to be able to leave their teams and league's going to shut down and they're going to head over and have that happen. I kind of feel like it's in real jeopardy. How about some of the discussions that you heard, and how long, you know, what point does somebody have to come up with a final decision on that if indeed it weren't going to happen?
Last week we had an owners meeting. It was on Thursday and Friday, which I attended, and the Olympics was one of the major topics. And Gary Bettman said it correctly. He says this was a huge part of the negotiations in the last CBA. This is something that the players really, really wanted, and we agreed to that. We promised them that, and we're going to the Olympics. The only reason that we wouldn't go to the Olympics if the players did not want to go, meaning it was not safe, there was a COVID outbreak or what have you. Everyone knows the rules. There is no fans in China. They'll be living in a dorm for the 3 weeks that you're there. And if you get COVID, you will not be allowed to come back. I've been told like three weeks is the regulations in China. So with more of these cases happening in North America and again all over the world, and the new variant being out there, I mean, you know, if you're asking me, it would be cause for pause in terms of what my thoughts were for myself personally, you know, my family, those type of situations. But I mean, Gary was very, very clear, and you know, a deal is a deal, and we said we're going to go, and unless they don't want to go, we're going to China. But I think this next month is obviously very critical in terms of how much COVID happens, this, you know, specifically here in North America. As far as a date, there's a date, I think January 10th, that has been talked about. I think that's directly related to financial situations. I mean, if it was called off on or before January 10th, I think that's there are no expenses. I think after January 10th, whether it be flights, insurance, all many other things, I think they're, you know, the NHL and others would share you know, some expenses. So to answer your question, I don't know. It feels like it's getting more risky. That's my opinion right now, and I would have some pause personally before I went, but the players have to decide with, you know, it's like everything in life, a little bit of risk-reward here.
Yeah. Boy, what a road trip that was. 4-0 on the road trip, finishing up with a really good win against a Rangers team. No Ryan Johansson, no Matt Duchene. Rangers had won 8 of 9. They were off to, I think, their best start in franchise history. And you guys go in there a little undermanned. Michael McCarron making his almost every other day trips from Milwaukee to wherever in the lineup with you guys. Matt Luff joined the lineup on Friday night in the win over the Devils. What did you make of the road trip, and especially how it finished up Sunday night at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, so many positives of our team. I mean, where do you want to start? Like in goal, Saros gets sick. He's going to be playing these games. He doesn't play. David Rittich plays back-to-back games for the first time as a Predator. Does really well, and we win two games. Saros comes in the last two games and just plays, you know, lights out like he's been playing all season. On defense, I mean, Roman continues to lead us back there in terms of his play, and one of the top scorers of all the defensemen in the league. And, you know, other players like Mark Borowicki, that basically had a non-year last year for injuries and other situations, and Matt Benning formed a very solid third pair for us. Up front, we've been talking every week on the show about how good Granlund and Duchesne and Johansson have been playing, and their scoring has been so good and so much better than last year. And then and Forsberg also. And then I've been saying, well, we really need to get some secondary scoring. And on this trip, it was all secondary scoring.
Yeah.
You know, from Tolvanen and, you know, scoring in consecutive games to Cousins getting a goal, you know, Janot scoring, Sisson scoring, Trenin scoring a couple big goals after having a fight with Chara, Luke Cunning, you know, jumping in there. So it's just lots of good things. And I think the biggest thing that stands out to me is that it really feels like John Hines has got what he wants with our players in terms of the buy-in. This, you know, every manager says every year, we have to have a team identity. You know, you strive for that, but there's no question that we have a team identity. Everybody knows it. Our players all play to it. And I think the rest of the league sees that. So we're in the mix. As I said from day one, the whole goal here is to be, maybe we took a little bit of a step backwards to hopefully take a couple of steps forward here in the next couple of years. And just want to get a little bit better as the season goes along. And I certainly feel that based on our recent play that we're going in the right direction.
You told us, David, last year towards the end of the year, and you said it many times throughout the offseason, that Phil Tomasino was going to get every chance to make the roster. Well, we know how that all played out, and now he's settled in, and he had the lone goal on Sunday night. Now 5 goals on the season. It seems like he's really settling in well. It seems like Phil Tomasino is starting to, you know, as they say, I guess the more time you play, the more minutes you log, the more games you log, things maybe start slowing down for young guys. He is only 20 years old, but what are your thoughts right now? Still very early on in his career, but so far the play of Tomasino.
I'm a huge fan. I've been that way ever since we drafted him. And again, I just think he's got a really high ceiling, and I think in the area that, in my opinion, we needed the most offensively, I think this is the guy that could be putting up some pretty significant numbers for us. I mean, he's probably had 10 breakaways this year, which nobody on our team has had more than 2, and I don't think he scored on one of them. So I know that's going to get better. And then, you know, he's been playing mostly fourth line, so limited minutes, but because Duchesne was out and other situations, he get promoted to the, you know, top line, and lo and behold, he scores the only and the winning goal the other night. So those are the type of stories that you're looking for, and, you know, I think Tomasino gets more confidence. Obviously, when that happens, the players get more confidence in him, and the coaches feel the same way. So it's just another good thing that's been happening for us in terms of us getting better as the season moves along.
Talking to David Poile, Predators general manager. And David, one of the people that was on the road trip with the team was Vicky Woosley, who a lot of people probably would never know anything about, other than if you've been following the team. There's 3 different players that have talked about their experience with her with sports psychology. Mark Borowiecki, you mentioned, and some of the issues he had last year, Matt Duchesne, and Connor Ingram, all for different reasons. But I'm nominating her for team MVP. What do you think? She's done a really good job behind the scenes here.
Well, we all need secret weapons in our organization, and Vicky's been a very good hire for the Predators, and she's a psychologist, has a tremendous background in a lot of different areas, and I think in the almost 2 years now she's worked for us, that she's really bonded well with our team and players and coaches and families and what have you, and, you know, we all need somebody to lean on every once in a while, or to hear some things out, or to, you know, just to feel better about certain situations. And I think she's done a great job. You know, we pride ourselves as sports organizations that, you know, we do everything physically to help our players. But I think we're all recognizing, and finally, if you will, that the mental side is equally as important as the physical side. And I think the Predators with Vicky Woosley are doing a tremendous job in that area. And Vicky's been a big part of our team, and will continue to be.
You know, David, it was interesting talking to John Hines about some of the things that the team was juggling, and you talked about it a minute ago, the buy-in, where there's just a belief about the team, no matter what you throw at us, we'll figure out a formula that can be successful. But John Hines used the term a mayday situation on Friday, and I think you would probably say it might have been something similar on Sunday, a little bit more preparation, though, with that back-to-back, though, in particular against the Devils, where they only had 11 forwards to work with. You know, you're finding out the day of the game what you've got, what you don't have. But I think when you can fall back on that, that belief, that's where that formula really is successful. That was really something to see.
Yeah, it goes back to the identity, believing in each other, believing in your system, all those things that it's easy to talk about, but actually to put it into play and to have it, to execute it and have it work are two different things. And there's a lot of things that can go wrong within a game, within a season, and you know, there's more things that are, I think, are pulling you down sometimes and that are lifting you up. But you know, right now, through a lot of hard work by our coaching staff and a lot of I would say communication, team building with our players, and understanding John Hines as our new coach, understanding what he expects and wants, and now seeing some of the results. I think this is what's really you know, important, obviously, and really, you know, to me feels like we're turning the corner with our team. And you know, again, we've got the past in terms of going to the Stanley Cup Finals, but that is the past. And we had some fantastic players that will always be, you know, top players in the Predators history. But you know, we needed to make some changes, and we made those changes. And now we got some new guys, and I think we got some going to have some new fan favorites here. We do already, and I think we're going to have some more real soon, based on the current play of our team. So again, it's a tough league. Again, I don't want to get ahead of us, because like I say, a couple of wins, you're comfortable in the playoffs. A couple of losses, you're below the line, and that's how good and how hard and how much parity that we have in the National Hockey League. So there's a lot of good teams out there, and we're striving to become one of them.
David Poile is with us, Predators general manager. And building off that just a little bit, the thing that I've really noticed with your club is it reminds me of a few years ago, some of those teams you were talking about, of just how tight-knit they are, but in the way of it's not playing for me and playing for the guy next to me. And not that wasn't there before, it just it just feels like it's more of what it used to be. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I feel it's clearly there, and it you know, it didn't happen overnight. I mean, we can go back to the beginning of the last season, again, lots of COVID, all that stuff. And our team didn't perform well, and there was a lot of players that didn't perform well, and I think a lot of people were really doubting you know, anything and everything with the Predators. But again, I'm saying the same thing again, but I certainly give all the credit to John Hines and his coaching staff in terms of what they needed to do, the meetings they had to have, the sales job that they had to present to the players, and for the players, the buy-in that they've given to the coaches. And when they give the buy-in to the coaches, they've given it to each other. And now that's where you see the players playing the way they are and saying the things they say about our team and each other. So it's it feels good today. So like I said earlier, I always knock on wood, I guess, is that it's a tough league, and you've got to do your best to earn your stripes every day. But you know, right now we're feeling good about ourselves, and we're playing hard. We're playing the right way, and we all like it.
You started this by giving out a shout-out, and I really appreciate that. Ryan told me to tell you have nothing to worry about. His loyalties will remain gold and with the Nashville Predators, so you have nothing to worry about there. But somebody that's been with you since day one, Jerry Helper, announced his retirement as he was a key part in the early days of, you know, getting Pete Weber, Terry Crisp here to help build the brand of the Nashville Predators. So what has he meant to you and to the organization?
Well, thank you for bringing it up. You're exactly right. And Jerry, a little bit behind the scenes often with his job, but a great hire by Jack Diller, who was a big part in hiring me here at the Predators. And you know, Jerry's had a ton of experience and worked for the league office, worked for teams in a market where you know, it was non-traditional, you know, just like dealing with the media, a lot of people, with all due respect, had never covered hockey before. And every facet, I mean, Jerry was ahead of the curve for all of us on a daily basis. He had a pulse of what needed to be said, it didn't need to be said, situations that were kind of boiling or brewing that would be a heads up to me, other people in the organization. all of those things. I met with Jerry all the time, virtually at the on a daily basis, if you will, to go over things from my standpoint of the, who said this, who said that type of thing, or what's coming down the horizon. And he was a great partner for me for the almost the last 25 years. So he will be missed by me specifically. I think in the organization, his handprints are all over all the things that have taken place here in Nashville in terms of, solidifying the Predators as a hockey franchise, as a hockey town. And I'm very happy to give Jerry a shout out anytime and thank him for everything that he did for me. So appreciate you bringing that up, Chase.
Yeah, no doubt there. And David, we appreciate it as always, joining us every Tuesday. Good luck Thursday. We'll do it again next week.
Okay, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
That is David Poile, Predators general manager, who does join us every Tuesday at 11:15, and always appreciate him and his kind words as well. As we head to the break, Willie, tell us about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company. 615-567-1000 is the phone number to always keep top of mind. And with our conversation with David Poile, it's a good time to remind you they're a big sponsor of our coverage of the Nashville Predators. Lee Company's got a lot of great services for you. Here we are in the middle of the week. You may have some maintenance things that have come up. Always keep in mind that general maintenance at home or at your business is something that Lee Company is ready for at all times. Give them a call or go online at leecompany.com. Schedule an online appointment. You can continue with your workday, and you'll know that the problem that you have, whether it's something with your floors, something with your windows, something with your back fence, something like that, anything it might be, the general maintenance crew from Lee Company will come in and take care of the problem for you. Just one of many things they have going for them. 615-567-1000. Or go to leecompany.com. Look for their display when you come into Smashville the next time you come on down for a Predators game. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Special thanks to David Poile for joining us, his weekly chat with us on Tuesday starting at 11:15. Don't forget to go to the game, nashville.com/deals, to check out Nashville's best deals. This week, you can purchase a $150 gift card for $125 to the Woodhouse Spa in Nashville. Get your loved one a gift of total relaxation to Woodhouse Spa for this Christmas. Conveniently located in Midtown at Division and Broadway, get your deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Could have used that when I got my deep tissue massage last week. My back problems, you know?
I need one of those.
Yeah.
I'm due.
Well, when it gets as bad as mine did last week, I think I told you guys the next day, if you were filming, if you were videoing me that, you would have been laughing your tails off. Because half the time I was about ready to bounce off the table because it hurt so bad. And the other time it was so relaxing, I think I woke myself up snoring. So it was a roller coaster of emotions.
Sounds like it.
It was a pretty interesting conversation there with David. I mean, I understand where the commissioner, Gary Bettman, is coming from because that was, something that they agreed upon. And this is concessions made for the players. But is it going to be worth the sacrifice if something does go awry over there and you have to spend, 3-4 weeks over there and you can't come home?
Yeah, I mean,
is that going to change everything?
I think it should. I mean, if that's the, you're gonna have to look at those things. I mean, if there is a huge risk to hurt the teams and hurt the schedule and the players, I mean, obviously player safety is a big thing here. Then you're gonna have to rethink it and maybe not go, which nobody would want. That would stink. But I just think there's a bigger picture you have to look at.
I think it's really going to be up to the players. As you heard David Poile, he made it pretty clear that they made a deal. The players have the right to go, and now it's solely up to them whether they think it's worth it or not. And I think the question is going to be when they start polling the different teams, and when I say teams, I'm saying the different countries, You know, I was listening to Elliot's podcast, for example, the other day, and he brought up a good point. What if two teams have, you know, full bore, we're in, we want to go, but then two other teams, only maybe half of the guys want to go, and then a couple other teams, only about a third of the guys want to go. So what do you do? What's the tipping point? We're going, we're not going, because everybody's got to be in, or everybody's got to be out, I would think. And they have until January 10th to decide. So they have some time to hash this out. But we're now getting down
not
to
much.
It.
Not much. We're in the middle of December. Not much.
But you could hear, you know, David Poile saying it. Like, every team now, like, let's just – Ryan Johansson, that's the second one of the season. Early in the season, David Rittich tested positive. It was not as big a thing because he hadn't played yet for the team. But, you know, you lose Ryan Johansson, that's an important player. He just talked about Sebastian Aho and Seth Jarvis, two key players. They're still in Vancouver for Carolina. Everything can be going along really smoothly, and then all of a sudden, boom, you get hit. Calgary had six players all of a sudden. I hadn't heard a thing about Calgary. They've had a great year. And then, boom, they get hit with this. So there's all kinds of questions about where it's going to go from here. But the one thing that's really different about the Olympic situation is you really don't have any leeway when you get over there. You're under, I don't want to say control, but the people that have the say of whether you're clear to go or not is the government of China, right? So you don't have...
That's what would concern me, is knowing that if you got
you
something,
can't just
you,
say,
you
hey,
stuck.
You know, we got a private plane here, we're going to... You can't do that over there. It's very strict rules, and it's not your country, so it might make it a little more complicated than, you know, you get stuck in Vancouver for a week, and then you go home. That's bad enough.
Right. No.
So all the things we've learned to try to get around it, that these are things that, as you heard David Poile say, might give you pause, but also this is maybe a once-in-a-lifetime kind of chance for some players to represent their country in the Winter Olympics.
Here's a question that was asked to me yesterday about this team. And I told Robbie and Joe that – asked them if they were listening on my conversation with Ian Safar, because that's literally what we were talking about every break in postgame Sunday night. And so I'm going to pose it to you guys because I think it's a really good question. I mean, 28 games in, I think we would all agree, everyone would agree, this team is kind of above – board of where everybody thought it would be, right? I'd say that they're getting a more than just a passing grade. They're getting a really good grade on where they sit right now through 28 games. But the question is, that's 28 games, and this is an 82-game schedule, not a 56-game schedule, which would make it at the halfway point of the regular season. They're just past the quarter pole. So the question is this what this team is moving forward, or is this just a really good start by this team? And I think it's a really good question. So let's talk about it. What do you think?
Well, the first thing I would point out is take a look at the last 28 games of last year. So now you've got a bigger sample size. And if the Predators had 20 wins in the last 28 games last year. And so here they are with 17 wins in the first 28 this year. And they did turn over some of the guys from last year to this year, but remember what David Poile said is they really only made a couple of changes from last year's team to this year's team. They were pretty big names, though. But when you take a look at Victor Arvidsson and Ryan Ellis, two of the key guys, and, of course, Pekka Rinne retiring,
Cali
that
Yarncroke
was a big one.
Too.
Cali Yarncroke, too. Important veteran guys. But largely, you still had the foundation of what got them that great finish last year. A great play by UC Saros. He's done nothing to have any doubts for that last year was a fluke. If you look at his career, UC Saros has been in the league for a good while now. Save percentage for his career is .921. So I don't think UC Saros is a fluke. the more he plays, the more you're sitting there going, the guy just keeps answering the questions. That's where you start when you ask, can they sustain it?
Nobody's going to say UC Saros is a fluke.
No, but there's
the
always somebody
that
there's always people asking questions about
where's
his height,
the scoring.
He's never played a full season. I'm just saying when you've got the goalie, you don't have to score a whole lot.
I don't think anybody was bringing that up though in the offseason. I think it's pretty clear with the losses that you just laid out.
A lot of people were bringing that up last year. He's never done it for a full season. He's never started more than 40 games.
I'm talking about
this
past offseason. Going into this season,
that's what I was talking about.
I don't believe.
I think
so.
A lot of people were talking about.
I think people were talking more about where's the
Pecorine's gone.
Scoring.
You don't have Pecorine anymore. There was a lot of people. I think they were maybe misinformed. I'm not saying it was you, but I'm saying there was some people that I don't think really believed in UC Saros, but I think the people that have been looking closely for a while, they've really never had any doubt that he could do this, and he's continuing to do it. I think he's way underrated, honestly, among the national. Look at Philip Grubauer. Was one of the nominees for the Vezina Trophy last year. Look at what he's doing right now in Seattle. He's getting pummeled. But people thought Philip Grubauer was more deserving of a Vezina nomination than UC Saros last year. I'm not taking anything away from what Grubauer did last year for Colorado.
Well, it's the team that
I'm
he was
simply
on.
Pointing yeah. out. Well, that's what I'm pointing out, though. UC Saros was doing this. He's underrated.
Right.
And when you can do that, it masks a lot of other weaknesses. But I think you have him and you have a team that believes in one another. They have a structure that they play every night. I think that's a good formula for success. Now, how much success, I don't know. But I think they've played enough with this identity and this structure, with UC Saros as the goalie, that I think you're laying out, you got a formula for success.
I don't think anything that you just said was wrong. I think that this – and what you're seeing is – I've put this team in the category of, okay, the teams you should beat, you got to beat those. The teams that are more your level playing field, the toss-up games, you got to be in those. And we've seen over the course of the last week or so that, all right, they're getting those wins. The thing that concerns me is as I go back and I look through the schedule, you know, the Rangers are third in their division. That's a really good win. I don't know what they are necessarily yet. I think it's a good team. But how do they match up against Colorado? How do they match up against Carolina, Winnipeg, Florida? I'll put that in there.
Vegas,
Edmonton, Toronto. Those teams that they've played some of them earlier in the year, they lost. And in some cases, you could tell. You watch the game and go, yeah, they're just not the better team there. The 2-0 loss to Boston, that's just one of those games that I think they played well. They lost 2-0. It just happens. But how do they match up against these really, really good teams? I think that's still a question mark. And for me to truly tell you that, yeah, hey, you know what? This is a good team. This is what they are. You know, they're going to be in it second in the division right now. They got to show me that they can beat those teams, Colorado, Carolina, Vegas. I even throw Winnipeg in there, Florida.
I wouldn't throw Winnipeg in there. I think they
Winnipeg could be more along the lines of a team that, you know, there's kind of
all the other teams you mentioned. You're mentioning the elite top teams that were favored to win the cup before the season started.
Sure.
Let's remember what the expectation level and the goal of the Predators was. Competitive transition. They're shifting the roster as they have been for a couple years. So I don't think it's fair to say, well, they're supposed to be contending with the Stanley Cup contenders right now. I think
well, I'm not saying
what they've
that. I'm
done,
just saying
though,
how do they match up?
Well, I mean that's part
well,
of the question.
Match up.
I mean, they're in second place, and that's really the question. The question is, can they sustain this? Is this what they are? That's what the question is, because they're above the line of where everybody thought they would be. To this point, I mean, second in the division right now, 35 points. I mean, they're not a couple more wins, and they're the top team in the West. And so, I mean, we know that is. I mean, that could be 30, 31, 32 games into the season, and they could quite possibly be the top team in the Western Conference. So that's what I'm asking. I'm asking, is this something that this is who they are? I mean, yeah. Everyone has misjudged where their line was, right? Everybody thought the line is they're about where Dallas is right now in the division, right? 28 points, they're not out of it at all, but outside looking in, sixth place in the Central Division instead of second place, not far away from top team in the Western Conference. Is this what they are moving forward? And this is what, and everybody was wrong, or is this just they've gotten off to a really, really good start? I mean, that is the question. There's a long ways to go, but that's what I want to know. And I think it's a really interesting question. I know Lee wants to weigh in because I know we're going to have to get out of here soon. Lee is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Hey guys, enjoy the show. Just kind of reiterating what y'all are saying, would you not think that the Ducks and the Predators are not the surprise teams of the year? Who would have ever thought with a third of the way through the season that the Predators would be in second place in the Central? It was not probably conceivable. I would, just for the fun of it, think that you might talk about this later, but John Hines at this point would be the coach of the year and David would be the GM of the year. Just for the fun of it, what do you think about that, guys?
Well, I think, Lee, you're onto something, because I don't think there's any doubt that you would say right now that Anaheim and Nashville, yes. I don't think anybody was predicting. Anaheim sits atop the Pacific right now. They sit 2 points behind being the top team in the Western Conference. So, yeah.
I think Minnesota.
By the way, they could have this same discussion, to Lee's point. They could have this same discussion in Anaheim right now, right? And they may be having that same discussion. Like, is this what the Ducks are, or is this just a really good start?
Yeah. And real quick, I think that this Preds team is better than I had thought they were going to be. I think they're a playoff team. Right now, December 14th, I think it's safe to say that, you know, how it all plays out is they're going to be in the playoffs and not to the point of barely getting in like a lot of people thought that they were going to be. But
if you say that, Chase, then you're saying they're comfortably in, then this is who they are. If you say it that away,
right, but
then you're saying this is what they are.
But what I'm prefacing that with is I still don't think they're elite because of how they have matched up against the elite team. So what they are can be third, fourth place in the division, which, you know, would be a wild card or that top three to get in, which is great. That is ahead of schedule from what a lot of people thought they would be. But what does that mean moving forward of when you got to face the big dogs that everybody has picked to win the cup? That's the question that I still have to have answered. I mean, I think they're a good team, but are they great?
I think if you make the playoffs in the West this year, you are a good team. And I'm not ready to say mark the Predators down comfortably in the playoffs. There's too many teams that are close, and there's too many wild cards out there with COVID that can change your team for a couple of weeks. I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're going to play evenly with over the course of the season, Colorado, Vegas, Toronto, Carolina. You're talking about the top of the top right now. The Predators have made no secret. They're in a transition right now. Now, I think in another year or two, if they can keep building on what they've got now, it's very encouraging of what they're doing. But I do think right now the best thing they have going, they have laid a great foundation in a quick period of time, right? They have shuffled their lineup in about 2 years without going below the line and having to fully rebuild. They've put new blood in there. They've got a new coach who he threw out coach of the year. I absolutely think John Hines does not get the credit he deserves, not even from the Nashville fans, about what kind of job he's been doing behind the scenes with this team.
We'll come back. We'll start the third hour with our man Tim Hasselbeck. We'll do that next here on Darren, Donick, and Chase.